Hey, nosy neighbors, it's Kylie.
And I'm Mary.
And you're listening to Sipping with Snapped, a true crime podcast.
Hey.
Hi, neighbors.
Happy leap year tomorrow.
Yes. Enjoy the extra 24 hours.
Yeah. And if anyone has a baby, push it out. Push it out.
Yes. Have one of those off day birthdays or off year birthdays.
Yeah.
So cool.
Off 3 year birthdays. It's only your birthday every 4 years.
Yes. So this is the 28th. You guys are listening to this because my mom's amazing and she made it happen. Well, I want to sing your praises. She came up to help me move a week early and is driving all the way down from Massachusetts to Alabama.
1,057 miles, but who's counting?
And made sure that the episodes came out on time. So she's amazing.
What is the skin of your teeth? Where did that come from?
Right? There's no skin on teeth. Nope. How do you make it by the skin of your teeth?
Yep, that's disgusting.
Yeah. Where do some of those idioms come from? That's an idiom, right?
We might have to do a Patreon.
I'm like, yes, you hear your grandma say these words. Mm-hmm. There's one that I have never heard before, but Kyle said his mom used to say all the time.
Uh-huh.
It's colder than a witch's titty. Oh.
In a brass bra.
Yes, I knew that there must be a second part to it.
Because
that doesn't make sense. Colder. Cold? Are they just naturally cold-blooded? Those green looking like a reptile?
Oh. All right. Well, what you drinking?
Anyways, obviously, I'm enjoying the bootleg cocktail.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yes, it's Minnesota's favorite drink.
Oh, Minnesota.
Minnesota. So it's funny that it's going to be a frozen drink and we're in Minnesota, which is also cold. But yes. You can combine one can of frozen lemonade, one can of frozen limeade, 2 to 3 bunches of French mint leaves, and you blend that. And then add a 1/4 cup of simple syrup to the lemon lime mint mixture and now mix that in. Then you fill a tall glass with ice, add 2 parts of booze, either vodka or gin, your choice.
Okay.
And add 3 parts of that bootleg mix. And then you add a little bit of club soda to finish.
Oh.
So it's like a minty, it's refreshing.
So you drink the mint, you eat.
Yeah.
Consume the mint.
Yeah, because it gets all blended up in there.
Oh.
I would probably do personally a little less mint. It's like 2 to 3 bunches. I like just a little dash enough to where you be like, this.
It's a smoothie.
Yeah, it's a little ice drink. It's nice.
Well, have fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would probably be even better if it was warm out.
Yes, this is true.
A sip to start. So,
okay.
In the early morning hours of April 25th, 2010, 911 dispatchers in St. Paul, Minnesota received a frantic phone call from the Furcus house.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's trying to break into my home, 25-year-old Heidi Furcus told the dispatcher. Heidi gave her address and requested help, but the operators soon heard a gunshot go off in the background, followed by the line going dead.
Oh, no.
Without wasting time, the operator dispatched a team of first responders to the location.
Okay.
Just 65 seconds later, another call came in, this time from Heidi's husband, 27-year-old Nick Furcus.
Okay.
My wife is shot. Somebody broke into our house, he screamed into the phone. I've been shot. Authorities soon arrived and found Heidi lying unresponsive on the floor while bleeding profusely from a gunshot wound in her back.
Oh.
Nick had a gunshot wound to his thigh. Sadly, Heidi died at the scene.
Oh, that's sad.
I know. Heidi Marie Erickson was born on December 14th, 1984 in Ramsey County, Minnesota.
Oh.
She was the youngest of 3 children to her parents, John and Linda Erickson.
Mm-hmm.
She grew up in a loving and close-knit family, sharing an excellent bond with both of her parents.
Mm-hmm.
People who knew the Erickson's described them as loving and caring, and the family attended church regularly. It was a big part of their life.
Okay, probably Catholic.
Probably.
Up there, yeah.
Yep. John and Linda were pretty happy when they learned that Heidi had met Nicholas, who went by Nick Furcus, through their church's youth group.
Oh.
The couple met at Calvary Church in Roseville, Minnesota. So I guess I could look up what denomination that is.
Yes, we could. Okay, I did. And it's called a Converge Church, which is formerly a Baptist church.
Yes. All right. When she was a freshman in high school and he was a junior.
Okay.
They served as church youth group leaders, and it did not take long for them to fall in love.
Oh.
Heidi graduated from Roseville Area High School in 2003, and the two were married at that church in 2005.
Of course.
Which I can only imagine, as a former youth group member, yes, what a wedding would be like at the church of two youth group members. I mean, I know that it's happened since I've left the church that we were at, mm-hmm, just because of distance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen, like,
yes,
all of those posts, and it just looks amazing. Like, aww, yeah. So after the marriage, wow, the couple settled in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Nick worked for his father's carpet cleaning business while Heidi worked entry-level jobs, eventually landing a position at Securian, which was a financial services company.
Okay.
Heidi was an artist, and she handmade cards, filling them with messages of hope for those closest to her.
Aww. I still have all my stamp stuff.
Yes, and you know who that reminds me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
My mom also did that, and one of our really close family friends did it as well, and we kept all of them.
Yes, they're treasures.
She enjoyed bringing people together for dinners and parties at their home. According to her friends, she was unapologetically excited and loved life.
Oh.
You know, not one of those people that diminished, like, how stoked they were for something.
Yes.
She was someone that always saw the best in people.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick Furcus told police a story of a burglary gone wrong.
Okay.
He said that he awoke to a suspicious noise at his front door, so he grabbed his shotgun and woke his sleeping wife.
Okay.
Nick claimed the gun went off during a life or death battle with the burglar, and the gun discharged twice, hitting his wife Heidi, uh-huh, then himself. Nick Furcus told Sergeant Jim Gray of the St. Paul Police Department, "I don't remember exactly what happened, but the gun went off. My finger slipped down to the trigger and it just went off."
Ooh, not a very responsible gun owner.
Uh-huh. Especially whenever I picture, like, a shotgun versus a handgun,
mm-hmm,
it seems more difficult for a shotgun to go off in my mind. Like, it needs more of a...
Yeah.
Whereas a pew pew is easier. Does that make sense?
Well, it's harder to point.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. As police observed the scene, they found the Furcus house was clean and tidy, and the entryway table beside the front door was undisturbed.
Okay.
Not sounding like there's much of a struggle.
Mm-mm.
They also found that nothing was stolen from the house, and there wasn't any sign of forced entry. An extensive canvassing of the neighborhood, including a canine search, showed no sign of an intruder.
This doesn't look good for Nick.
Not at all. When Sergeant Gray asked for a description of the burglar, Nick gave a very vague account. He said he thought it was a black male, but he wasn't entirely sure because he was wearing his hood up and his face was pretty covered. But the guy was around 6 feet and maybe like 200 pounds.
So Nick wasn't looking in the mirror at the time of the description.
Right? Like, what if he was like,
"What am I wearing?"
Late 20s, white man, brown hair.
Wearing boxers.
Right? He went the opposite. He was like a taller, fit black man.
Gotcha.
Maybe, but I couldn't really tell. Like, by the getting those details, it sounded like they had to drag it out of him. Like, at the beginning, he was like, "I don't really know." And they were like, okay, was he, like, this tall or this tall? Like, was he, like, this big or this big?
So he had no imagination to make something up.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Even though he just, quote unquote, wrestled with the man for a bit. He was like, oh, craziest thing.
Yeah. Here's a hair from him on my shoulder.
Uh-huh. Whoops, that's mine. So Heidi's autopsy affirmed that the gunshot wound led to her death. And judging by the severity of the wound, detectives concluded that the victim was shot at close range with the high-powered shotgun.
Oh, God. That's awful.
The investigation into Heidi Ferkus's homicide was pretty challenging because the police did not have any real leads or witnesses to work with. No. They got zero information from Nick.
The one eyewitness.
Yeah. With no signs of burglary, the police soon ruled it out as a motive and began focusing on other suspects. Okay. They said suspects, but we know who they narrowed in on.
Oh, yeah. It's always the husband. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Speaking of, Nick Ferkus told Sergeant Gray that the couple was in financial trouble.
Oh.
They were in over $15,000 of credit card debt and losing their home. In fact, they were supposed to be out of the home that very next day.
Oh.
They were being evicted.
Oh, no. And how much was the insurance policy on Heidi?
I know. We don't. It's not enough to save their house.
Oh.
The Ferguses bought their home in 2007 at the height of the financial bubble.
Yes.
By the end of 2008, after the couple took out two mortgages, the bank began sending foreclosure notices.
Oh, no.
The home was sold at Sheriff's Auction. Not Oxygen.
Okay.
Auction the following summer.
Oh.
None of their friends or family knew they were to be evicted.
Yeah.
Investigators found no signs that the couple was packing for a move. In fact, it seemed that Heidi Ferkus herself didn't know of the impending eviction.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Nick didn't put it on his Facebook status.
He did not have it out there.
Okay.
The couple had a division of labor in which Nick handled the financials.
Okay.
And Heidi was in charge of, you know, household management, social gatherings.
Yes.
Very old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like she had all of her trust. Oh. Like we said, she looked for the best of people. She trusted Nick fully that everything was fine.
Oh.
And
that's sad.
It was not far from it.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors in St. Louis who knew the couple claimed they appeared very much in love and nothing seemed out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Nick was known to be a helpful husband and Heidi often sang his praises to others.
Oh.
John and Linda Erickson were devastated to learn of their daughter's demise, but they did not suspect Nick of anything.
Yeah, they stood by him because they loved him.
Yeah, like we could never picture him doing that.
Mm-mm.
Police, however, were different. In fact, while Sergeant Gray was questioning Nick, he asked him point blank, did you have anything to do with the murder?
Ooh.
To which Nick responded, no, absolutely not.
It was my made up purple man.
Yes, it was that. What? How tall did I say he was? That dude.
The one that wasn't taller than the door, but.
Yeah, exactly. Nondescript.
Yeah.
Like that one police sketch of that Eggman with like the basic features.
Yeah.
Police released a description of the assailant to the public while Nick Ferkus retained a defense attorney.
Okay.
He was named Joe Friedberg. Joe recommended he cease contact with the St. Paul Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
At his advice, Nick Ferkus declined the SPPD's request to sit down with the police sketch artists and create a composite of the alleged intruder.
Okay.
He believed they'd use that as a means to try and interrogate him more.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick and Joe hired their own artist and returned to the SPPD with their own sketch of the alleged assailant.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've never heard that before.
Me neither. Mm-mm. I thought that you kind of had to use the provided artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what if you said, I saw somebody, but I myself am an artist. Can I just draw it?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Is that an option?
I wonder.
I kind of always assumed. Nick now added that the man was between 40 and 60 years old. So an older-ish gentleman.
Oh, wow. That's a wide range of age.
Right? And also, not to be ageist about different crimes, but I feel like breaking and entering is a younger person crime.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't think that a 40 to 60, like a 60-year-old, like dad, breaking down the door.
There's no way.
No.
He'd be going, oh, my back. Oh, my knee.
Yes!
I bumped my elbow. Yeah.
Yeah. They're doing the I'm going to hack into things type stuff. Like, if they need money.
Yeah. They do more white collar crime.
Yes. When you get older. When you're younger is when you get physically active with it.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah. The police released the sketch through the media to see if any tips would come in.
Nothing.
But nothing happened. Nothing came of it. Because it was a made up person.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, a woman identified a man named Michael Pye to police as a potential match to the sketch.
Oh.
Police started researching him immediately, mm-hmm. and they began to learn that he was engaged in a pattern of breaking into homes in St. Paul around 6 in the morning.
And he was 40 to 60 years old?
Well, as promising as the lead seemed, detectives soon learned that Michael Pye was incarcerated on the day of Heidi Fergus's murder.
Oh.
So he was ultimately cleared. Oh. So they had a brief glimmer of hope.
Mm-hmm.
But
fizzled.
Yeah. So they went back to their main dude, Nick. Nick's contradicting statements coupled with the evidence hinting at an inside job made him the primary suspect of the investigation.
Okay.
Yet, with no evidence to tie him to the crime, law enforcement officers were forced to let him walk.
Oh, no.
A few months after Heidi Fergus's death, Nick Fergus met Rachel Watson.
Oh.
She was getting out of an abusive marriage and he was dealing with the death of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel was a fellow Minnesota native and actually got to know Nick through his sister Sarah and her brother-in-law David Olson.
Okay.
Both were close friends of Heidi. In fact, Sarah considered herself one of Heidi's best friends, and she was the one to vehemently, that sounds weird to me after I said it.
Vehemently.
Yeah. To adamantly, I'm just,
okay.
Just gonna change the word adamantly, insist that Nick was a wonderful man who loved and took care of his first wife without fail.
Hmm.
So the two bonded over their trauma, fell in love, and eventually got married in 2012.
Oh, wow.
So when Rachel met Nick, she knew about Heidi's death and some of the details. However, she did not think that he could have killed his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He had the fervent support of his and Heidi's friends, which included Rachel's own sister, as well as Heidi's family. Her parents still were behind him. So they all told Rachel he was innocent and thought he was a victim himself.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, St. Paul Police Sergeant Jake Peterson became the homicide investigator on the case. He believed one or more people out there knew exactly what happened and maybe had a change of heart in the past 2 years.
Oh.
So they began to go back and talk with the people who were originally interviewed in 2010 to see if they could provide any additional details.
Okay.
Around this time, a few months after Nick and Rachel were married, they welcomed their first child.
Oh.
Neighbors who were acquainted with the couple claimed they appeared utterly in love, and they even went on to become proud parents of two more wonderful children.
Okay.
Yet with time, Rachel began doubting her husband.
Oh.
Whenever she asked him about Heidi, his answers were short and there were no details, which seemed odd.
Yeah.
She also began to catch him in some lies.
Oh.
The couple had moved into a house purchased for them by Nick's parents.
Okay.
And together they had an arrangement where they would pay the mortgage amount to Nick's parents and Nick would pay the property taxes directly to the county.
Okay.
One day, Rachel found a notice in their home, hidden,
yeah,
that stated that they were delinquent on their property taxes and their home was in danger of being foreclosed on.
Oh.
Right? Round two. Fight.
Oh. Didn't learn anything the first time.
Right?
Like how to manage money.
Nothing.
Hmm.
And what was he spending the money on? It's not like they were living a lavish life. They're in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I don't know what it's like there. But you know what I mean?
It's not like California.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like Hollywood or Los Angeles where the cost of living is extravagant and he's got...
$6 a gallon of gas. Yeah.
Yeah. A bunch of cars and whatever.
Yeah.
Rachel's mind immediately went to Heidi Fergus's death. She confronted Nick while recording on her cell phone about their money situation and got a little more confirmation than she expected.
Oh.
So you can hear it, but I've just got like the big snippet. Mm-hmm. Like, your actions have caused me to distrust you completely. And the fact that you're lying was so easy for you to do in front of me over and over makes me think. And then Rachel trails off.
Oh!
Nick responded that I could murder my wife. So Rachel answered that you could lie about something. Mm-hmm. Nick repeated that I could murder my wife. Yes, finally, Rachel admitted on the recording.
Oh.
She tried to continue to get answers, uh-huh. but when she didn't, she left him.
Uh-huh.
The two divorced in 2019.
Oh, wow.
And before that, like, while she was trying to get answers after this recording, she had sent their children away because she was scared.
Yeah, I would be.
But she still needed to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That same year, Sergeant Nicole Sipes of the St. Paul Police Department took a new look at the death of Heidi Frickes. So she's the third lead investigator on this case.
Uh-huh.
The case always bothered her because the circumstances didn't seem to fit what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Sipes, reached out to the FBI, which is awesome. She asked for help.
Yeah, that's good.
Which so often doesn't happen.
Good for her.
So they helped her reconstruct the sound data from the 911 call to see if there was evidence of a third person in the house.
Okay.
FBI agent Pat Riley confirmed that there was no noise that could be detected in the background, meaning it was the two of them.
Did you know that 911 calls start recording before the operator says 911, what's your emergency?
I didn't know that.
There's some space.
So just in case you can't like snap it off and then get right into it.
Yeah.
Like someone says hello and then you start faking like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow. Work yourself up.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI also combined their ballistics testing and a virtual model of Heidi and Nick Ferkus's house uh-huh. to prove that the shots were most likely not accidental in the middle of the struggle,
yeah,
but deliberate.
Yeah.
Law enforcement officials also looked to the DNA evidence
mm-hmm.
and realized the only samples found at the scene belonged to the victim and her husband.
Okay.
Though Nick claimed he had wrestled with the intruder to take control of the shotgun, tests revealed
mm-hmm.
that his DNA was the only one on the weapon.
Wow.
Sergeant Sipes examined the couple's emails and texts and found no communication related to the floor closure or moving to a storage unit or even figuring out where they would sleep the following night.
Yeah.
It seems they went into detail in a few things, but basically she was living her own regular life, planning to have things the next day.
Yeah.
No idea.
The freezer is stocked.
Yes, everything. She made plans with her friends the next day to go to dinner.
Yeah.
Like, no idea, no big move. And I guess since I'm in the middle of a big move, you start like a while out. You can't just pack up the night before. So there would have been evidence of like, oh, they're getting out of here.
Yeah, at least some boxes.
Mm-hmm. So Sergeant Nikki Sipes also interviewed the lawyers who handled the foreclosure and the eviction. And neither of them had ever spoken with Heidi. They only worked with Nick.
Oh, gosh.
Also, only Nick Ferkus had attended the court hearing for the eviction of roughly a month and a half before the killing,
okay.
claiming that his wife was unable to attend.
Lies.
So he denied two attempts where insurance, before the eviction, twice he was offered money to get out of the house a little early. Like, hey, we'll pay you $2,000 if you'll leave in February instead of April. And he was like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
And then in March, they were like, hey, we'll pay you $1,000 if you leave now. And he was like, nah.
And he could have used it.
Right?
Yeah.
But it meant coming clean and his life unraveling because he seems like he's got his shit together.
Yeah.
He's taking care of everything. Mm-hmm. He's big man, you know?
But he doesn't.
The day finally came for them to move out on April 9th. Nick asked for more time to move out, claiming that his grandmother was suddenly in hospice and he had to help care for her.
Oh, liar.
Yeah, the classic dead grandma excuse. It seemed like he was only going for short-term solutions. Like, I can buy myself a few more weeks. I can buy myself
mm-hmm.
a little more time.
I'm sick. I got the black lung pop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once Sergeant Sipes learned of Nick's recent divorce from his second wife, she reached out to Rachel Ferkus, who shared her suspicions and her recorded conversation with Nick.
Oh.
Sipes was like, she could have been the next victim.
Oh, God. gosh.
In May 2021, Nick Furkus was finally arrested and charged with second-degree murder in the death of Heidi Furkus.
Oh, good.
A grand jury later indicted him for first-degree murder.
Oh, good.
Nick insisted on his innocence and pled not guilty. Mm-hmm. Ramsey County prosecutors argued Nick Furkus hid details of their financial troubles from his wife and murdered her due to the shame of their impending eviction.
That's such a stupid reason.
Isn't it?
I mean, all reasons are stupid, but that one's like the stupidest.
If they love you, then like...
they'll work it out with you.
They might be pissed, but wow. Like, you met her when she was a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, it wasn't just going to be the loss of this house. It was going to be the realization that he had lied to his wife and he had lied to his friends and he had lied to his community for many years, said Ramsey County Assistant District Attorney Elizabeth Lamon. In addition to the financial evidence, prosecutors also only found his DNA on the gun, and several witnesses were able to testify about the no signs of break-in.
I wonder if it was just his fingerprint on the trigger.
So it seemed that it had been wiped, which why would it be wiped if it was a struggle?
Yeah.
And then they fled. They wouldn't sit there and wipe.
They wouldn't have stopped and said, oh, I need to wipe this.
Mm-hmm. Which further...
Sorry, did you already say that?
No, I didn't actually. I forgot to say that.
Okay.
So thank you for reminding me. Okay. Yeah, it looked like it had been wiped and they were like, that also is suspicious because if they just ran and fled the scene, that doesn't match. Yeah.
They're not going to stop and say, oh, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Let me just like dust up any of the things that I left behind.
Let me get this Clorox wipe.
Yes. Well, so that actually leads into this. So Robert Richmond, Nick Furkus's defense attorney, refuted these allegations and countered that these findings didn't necessarily disprove Nick's version of defense.
Ooh.
He claimed the intruder was wearing gloves and he was only in the home for a couple seconds, so he couldn't leave DNA evidence.
Oh, because just a couple seconds.
Yes!
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you can't. Oh, too quick, like the 5 second rule on the ground.
He was the Flash.
Yes, exactly. You didn't realize he was supersonic.
Yep. Too fast for DNA.
Hedgehog. Yes. Yeah, right. Here's what we're dealing with. You see how Sonic's got those white gloves on? He just rolled up in there.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Right? How dumb. Like, how dumb. Mm-hmm. But I guess when you've got all the cards stacked against you, you just throw whatever to the wall and see if anything will
stick.
What
sticks. Yeah. It's like, it was a big black man wearing gloves. It was Michael Jackson.
Yep. Back from...
I can't say big black man.
I know.
He's a little black man.
Yeah. He was average.
Yep. Average what?
On February 10th, after 4 hours of deliberations, the jury found Nick Furkus guilty of murder.
Nice.
He was sentenced in April 2023, so that would have been about 13 years after the murder, to life in prison.
Oh, just last year.
Mm-hmm. Without parole.
Wow.
Nick remains behind bars at the Minnesota Correctional Facility in St. Cloud. Oh, dash St. Cloud in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Okay.
In the end, he was put out away by a badass group of women. Sergeant Nicole Sipes was the one that was like, something's funky. And the district attorneys were all ladies. So I just wanted to point that out.
Oh, nice. Girl power.
Rachel remarried and still resides in St. Paul, Minnesota, where she owns and operates her own cosmetics company, Be Lovely.
Aww.
On top of it, she's also a vocal advocate for victims of human and sex trafficking.
Oh.
In fact, reports indicate that Be Lovely donates 10% of each sale to organizations that work for victims of trafficking and other social injustices.
Oh, should we put that in our show notes?
Yes.
Okay.
She's been interviewed after the fact and, you know, is vulnerable, open about the fact that everything was difficult.
Yeah.
But says that the 3 babies that she got out of it,
yes,
like she wouldn't trade for the world. So it's kind of one of those.
Oh, absolutely.
I hate that part happened, but I got something great out of it.
And the oldest has got to be maybe 11.
Yeah, they're still young.
They're little.
The oldest was born in 2012. So yeah.
Wow.
And I also wanted to include that Heidi's parents, John and Linda, they're still together and maintain a wonderful bond with their remaining children.
Oh.
Sometimes death disrupts family, but yeah. It seems like the Erickson family, they were really close to begin with and they mm-hmm. lent on each other during this time. So
I can't imagine losing a child though.
Oh my gosh. And out of the blue too.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that it's better if you're kind of have shady feelers about a dude, but mm-hmm. you sort of see it coming. This seems like a total blindside.
Out of left field.
Yeah. And unnecessary.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. But
I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs.
Erickson.
I mean, Mr. and Mrs. Heidi's parents. Yes.
Yeah. Linda and John.
Wow. Well, I've never heard this case before.
Yeah. So Minnesota.
mm-hmm.
Crazy. I can't believe that he did it. Like, he literally waited till the last minute. The day before. Like, what was he thinking? What was his end goal there? He just, at that point,
he could have just packed up and moved himself.
Yes.
He could have just dipped.
Uh-huh. And, like, he could have
just left her there in the dark.
Yes. And, like, it would have sucked if she woke up to police banging and being like, we're changing the locks. Get out of here.
Yeah.
But she'd be alive.
She'd be alive. She could start over.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, she had a whole support system there mm-hmm. to lean upon.
Mm-hmm. Whole family.
Yep. So anyways, make sure that you guys listen to your mothers
and make good choices.
Stay nosy, neighbors. I noticed that the neighbors were called upon a few times in this case.
Oh,
to talk about the couple. So yes. I was like, yeah, nosy neighbors, letting people know what they saw.
Oh, we love our neighbors. We love
them. Yes. All right,
enjoy your extra day tomorrow.
Yeah, make the most of it.
Cheers.
Clink. Thank you for joining us.
I'm Mary.
I'm Kylie.
And you've been listening to Sipping with Snacked, a true crime podcast.
Be sure to follow us on our Instagram at Sipping with Snapped,
Twitter at Sipping Snapped,
Facebook Sipping with Snapped, a true crime podcast.
Join our Patreon, Sipping with Snapped.
And if you forget all that, go to our website,
www.sippingwithsnapped.com.
We've got links to everything.
Cheers.
Logan, say I love you.